We good? There we go. Oh, echo. All right, I do have a few thoughts prepared, so it's not totally sermon-free Sunday. On baptism, obviously. Now you see what's really in my pocket all the time when I'm up preaching. It's this whole thing here. So, baptism. Following in the same footsteps as disciples and followers of Jesus through the ages. The thing that we're about to experience here, the ritual, the sacrament, has been carried out for the 2,000 years. We tend to think of everything in short terms, very modern, very recent. For 2,000 years, people have been doing this. It stretches all the way back from John the Baptist and his camel hair coat on the banks of the Jordan, baptizing those Israelites and Jesus as well, calling them to repentance, to Roman Christians being baptized secretly at night, hoping the soldiers don't find them, or hoping that no one within their group is actually working for the soldiers, in which case they would be dragged off to the Colosseum, to the Pilgrim Fathers leaving Europe in search of religious freedom in North America and baptizing their families and their kids as they arrived on the shores of North America, to present day our brothers and sisters in China, meeting and being baptized in home churches in fear of persecution, or to our former Muslim brothers meeting Jesus in their dreams at night. No one's reporting on this because they can't. But there are tens of thousands of Muslims in the Middle East getting converted directly by Jesus because no one can go preach to them. So they put their head in their pillow at night, and Jesus comes to them in their sleep, and they wake up in the morning a Christian. And they get baptized. If you get baptized in that scenario, you know that you're going to be shunned by your family and your community, or maybe even worse. So more than 2,000 years of baptisms. This, what we're going to experience today and now, is a holy moment. It is fitting in this holy moment for us to open up the Word of God and read. So if you have your Bibles with you, please open up to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 9 through 11 on Mark chapter 1. Verse 9 reads, "One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River." If you want, the four Gospels are quite different in their style. I always liken Mark to like an action movie, because Mark always puts in the word immediately, 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 immediately. So he just cuts right to the chase. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth and John baptized him. So no messing around. "As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son and you bring me great joy.'" Now there's three things the Father said about Jesus as he was about to be baptized, or just after he was baptized. The Father said, "This is my son." This speaks to identity. He said, "This is my dearly loved son." This speaks to how the Father loved the Son from eternity. And he said to Jesus, "You bring me great joy." There is little better, I think, than a father expressing his love and his admiration for his kids. This is a really good example for all of us dads. Now, baptism for the seven folk that are stepping forward today, it's a public declaration that you are in Christ. Galatians chapter 3. From verse 26 reads, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belongs to you." God says that being joined by faith with Jesus and then publicly declaring that through baptism that you're united in Christ, that means as the seven of you are declaring Jesus as your Lord and Savior today through baptism, this is what God says to the seven of you today, says to all of us. But I'm just, the sermon today is for the seven. This is what God says to you today, Grace, and to you, Beth, today, and to you, Shelley, today, and to you, Gabby, today, and to you, Aaron, today, and Travis, today, and Janine, today. God says that you are his beloved sons and daughters. Your identity is rooted in Jesus. You're adopted into his family. God says, because Jesus was his beloved son, and you are in Christ, you are also beloved by God. God says that because the Father was well pleased with his son and may be united with him, the Father says to you today, I'm well pleased with you. So any thoughts that you might be struggling with, any difficulties, this is the truth. This is the truth. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And us putting on Christ as new clothes, it applies to us. God says to you today, you are mine, you are loved, and with you I am well pleased. So that's a really good day. That's a good message, eh? That's the good news. So here's how we're going to do the baptisms, the orders of the baptism. So the sacrificial lamb up first is going to be Gabby. You're welcome. Hang on just a sec. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to climb into this tank here. I love this baptism tank, by the way. It's awesome. So I'm going to come in, and so are the people getting baptized. I know that's no surprise. And then the people coming up giving the encouragement are going to come at this microphone. We're going to have encourager, then their testimony, then the baptism. So first up is Gabby, and then Grace, and then Beth, and then Shelley. Then Aaron and Travis are getting baptized. They're going to do it a wee bit different. They're going to share their encouragement with each other first, and then we'll do one baptism after the other. For the romantics in the room, that'll be like an aww kind of moment. They are leading the marriage course just now, so that's kind of sweet as well. And then, which is also very cool, Janine is our last person to get baptized, and Kai is going to baptize her. And so, and Kai's also her encourager, so that all the speaking will happen in the tank then for that one, so it'll kind of change up again. So then we'd like to have Gabby in the tank, Grace up at the mic.
Do I go now?
You just be playing it.
Okay.
Oh, it's freezing. No, it's I'll get out of your way. Hang on.
So, Gabby, today is your very special and important day in your life. I'm so honored to be your friend and encourager. We've been friends for about 3 months now, and I can see that you truly love God and that your faith is important to you. As I stand here as your encourager, I'd like to give you the Bible verse, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I hope that you will always remember today as the day you gave your life completely to God. So take the plunge and live fearlessly, knowing that you are now part of God's army.
So throughout my life, I've encountered many ups and downs and came upon many obstacles. I know that this will continue, and I'm ready to go on with my journey with God's hand and forgiveness. When I was young, I had surrendered to Christ along with a close friend of mine. As I grew, I started falling into the wrong crowds and was prevented from revealing my true self. I was constantly being pressured into doing things I didn't want to do and was teased for my strong faith towards the Lord. Everything went downhill until one day I confessed and asked for forgiveness at a youth conference in Winnipeg. Near the end of one of the sessions, the speaker said, "Whoever needs forgiveness, stand up," and I did. I walked towards the front along with several other people and was prayed for. I asked for forgiveness and surrendered. It's crazy the feeling you get after being rescued. There's a gratifying pow that punches your chest and an instant electricity that runs through from head to toe, in my experience. Since that day, my faith continues to grow, and I am no longer afraid of the criticizing people who judge me for that. As you all know, I'm here to be baptized. To me, this is more than being shoved under the water. It means I'm repenting, admitting my wrongs, and turning my life around in a positive way. I am prepared to follow the Lord no matter what is thrown my way. I would like to thank my parents for always being there for me and showing me what true faith is, as well as many other relatives on both sides of the family. I would also like to thank Grace and her family. Even though I've only known them for a few months, they lead a very positive example in my life. Lastly, I'd like to thank the Lord for cleaning my slate, always holding my hand, answering my prayers, and being there when I need him the most.
Thank you. Okay, so you can sort of kneel down here. There we go. Just kind of edge forward a little bit, yeah. And then, yeah, that's right, put your hands across there, and I'm just going to kind of put you backwards. Hopefully not bang the head. Okay. And then after you come out, I'm going to also pray for you for a baptism in the Holy Spirit as well, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Gabby, is it your testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, and... Father, I come before you with Gabby, and as we've baptized her in water, we ask you to fill her and baptize her with your Holy Spirit as well, Lord. Let her lead a life that brings honor and glory to you, Father, and fill her with all the different gifts that you want to give her. We give you the praise and glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. There you go. Grace? Jordan?
Grace, hey. I don't think you honestly realize how proud I am of you today. We have been friends for 6 years now, and I am so blessed for that. I know that baptism is something you have been leaning towards for quite some time now, and now that it's here, I know that the decision was not made in haste. I'm not sure if there really is any criteria for me speaking to you, so I'm just going to say what I feel is relevant to you and your walk with Christ. Grace, you are such a passionate young woman with a deep, empathetic love for everyone. Something I really love and admire about you is your instinct to pray. Every single time you see an ambulance drive by, you automatically suggest we say a quick prayer over the paramedics and victims, and we keep going. As you take this fantastic leap of faith today, I want to highlight a verse that we have been discussing multiple times together. It's found in Proverbs 18:24. And it says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. As you continue your walk with God, I want to encourage you to not only be that brotherly friend to everyone, but also keep surrounding yourself with the brothers and sister God is providing you with. I love you, my dear friend.
Okay. I grew up in a Christian house and was always a Christian. I thought that was just the way everyone grew up. The first time I accepted Jesus into my heart, if I'm honest, is out of jealousy of my brother. We had just had a typical family Bible study, and my dad had said that we should go to bed and think about accepting Jesus into our hearts. So I went to my room and thought about it, but then I heard... Nathan go out and tell our parents he wanted to, and they were so happy and celebrating, so I ran as fast as my little 7-year-old legs could take me and told them I wanted Jesus in my heart too. I did it to please them and to make them proud. Over the years, I would every now and then accept him on a Sunday. During my middle school years, I struggled with my faith and was questioning God. I remember this one time, I had written Bible verses on sticky notes that were on the bottom of my journal pages, and I stuck them all around my bed on the walls. That night, I prayed God would reveal himself to me. When I woke up the next morning, all of the sticky notes had fallen off but one of them, and it was Psalm 46:10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." I was so excited and became so sure of God. About a year later, one of my best friends, Susanna, invited me to work at a Christian summer camp with her, and that summer is when my faith became my own and not just my family's. I was surrounded by people who were truly joyful and had such a beautiful light that I knew I wanted. So on August 8th, 2012, I regave my life to God, and I just felt my shoulders lighten as God had taken away everything that was dragging me down. Stillwood Camp has been a huge part of my walk with God. Hearing people's stories and how God has got them through such tough times, it really inspired me. My two best friends from Chilliwack, Jordan and Taylor, also are huge role models in my life. They are always so happy and positive and truly love God. It was tough at school, though, because we all went to different schools, so I didn't have that support. Moving here definitely tested my faith.
It was hard transition coming from a town where there is at least two churches on every road to being hardly any here, especially since I just moved here after being at camp all summer, being surrounded by Christians and having that support 24/7, whereas here I had no Christian friends. And that's when Gabby and her family come in. I was so happy to hear another girl my age who was a Christian was moving here. I truly believe God knew we would need each other and brought us together. So I'm here today to confirm my faith with God in front of all of you, and most importantly, God. I'm gonna like.
That's okay. I know you got the short. You got the short Scottish jeans. Oh, good grief! I've been praying for this for 17 years. Stop crying. Grace, is it your testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I then baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, I come before you with grace and I ask you also to fill her with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give her gifts, give her power for to be your witness, Father, whether that's in Jerusalem or Judea or to the uttermost parts of the earth. Wherever you send, grace be with her, Lord Father, protect her and lead her and guide her always by the power of your Holy Spirit. We give you the praise and glory in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Steph, are you able to do this?
Okay. Okay, Beth. Oh boy, that's really hard. Okay, Dad and I, we are so proud of you. And you're always full of life and strive to do the right thing, even. As a little girl, when we would have Bible studies as a family, you would be the one putting up your hands and wanting to know everything. And the Bible study, the devotion would go into a Bible study because you would want to know everything, you know, every scripture and what's the meaning of this and that. So, and my hope for you is that you will keep that first love for Christ and know that God and you will always be, that will always love you and that will be there for you. And my scripture is Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. So.
You want me to hold it?
That's okay. Until a few months ago, my Christian walk was pretty simple. My family would have Bible studies, but God never really tested my faith, or I was never looked at differently because of my faith. I loved going to church and youth every week. Then all of a sudden, my dad mentioned Revelstoke during dinner and how the Alliance Church there was looking for a pastor. And to be honest, I never once thought we would move. I know it sounds crazy, but I had lived in Chilliwack my whole life, and we would rarely take long trips away from it. And my best friends have been my best friends since I was little. I thought I would graduate from the high school I was going to go to and get a job there, so when my dad told us we were moving to a place I never heard of and where I didn't know anyone, I was pretty upset. I wondered why God would have this happen. I knew that he knew I loved all my friends and that I was living... and where I was living a lot. I finally understood that this was God's plan for my family after a lot of praying. But then came the hard part of telling my non-Christian best friends who have been there with me through everything for as long as I can remember that I was moving 5 hours away because God was calling my family there. They were very supportive of me moving, but they would always ask me if I could stay in Chilliwack with all my friends or move to Revelstoke, a small town where I didn't know anyone, which I would choose.
I would always choose moving, and they would always ask why. I would tell them again it's because I knew Revelstoke needs our family there now. I was very scared about moving, but I saw this sign in my dad's office saying, if he leads you to it, he'll lead you through it. That helped me a lot, knowing that God would be there with me through everything as I came to Newtown. And he did. I met some amazing friends who I think God sent my way, like Kira, Eden, Anna, and Jet, who made all this transition for me a whole lot easier. I've been wanting to get baptized for quite a while now, but I was afraid to share my testimony in front of my whole church. Finally, I realized God died for me, and he had done so much for me that I was ready to give my life to him, follow him, and tell people about everything he has done for us for the rest of my life. Some role models I've had in my faith besides my parents, which I've never met, were the Robertsons. Most people know them as a bunch of hillbillies from Duck Dynasty, but I have read most of their books and have looked up to how open they are about their faith and how they want to share it with everyone they come across and share Jesus' love with anyone who needs it, even at a young age. So that's why I've decided to give my life to Jesus today.
Okay, Beth, is it your public testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, and I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord Father, you promised not only a baptism in water, but you said your Son would baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray you baptize Beth with fire and the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be evident in her life, that you'll use her, Father, to reach other people, to spread the good news of what your Son has done, Father. Let her faith be strong, even though life may throw things her way, Father. Let her faith remain anchored in you and in your word. We give you the praise and glory in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Shelly, I've known you since 2010 and now it's 2015. That's 5 years, which is a lot when you're 10 and 11 like us. One of the things that I love about being your friend is how you just go with the flow. Like when we are playing together and you just play. You are happy to go along with whatever is suggested and is always with a smile and a happy attitude. Being your friend is easy. I know that as you continue to get to know friends here in Revelstoke, that you will keep being that awesome friend that God made you to be. As we keep growing up, I pray that God will keep using your easy doing, going, friendly attitude to shine for him. A Bible verse I thought to give you is Deuteronomy 6:5-6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your heart. I am so excited to see you get baptized today. It is a choice you won't be sorry about.
My name is Michelle. I have been a Christian my whole life, and a few weeks ago, God gave me a nudge to get baptized. I was scared at first, but then I thought it was a good choice. I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents told me about God for as long as I remember. Sometimes God would talk to me after I prayed to him, and God always kept the bad dreams from me each night when I prayed for him too. God has been so kind to me by answering my prayers. Like sometimes I would have a bad day and I would pray that I would have a good day and tomorrow, and I always did. My favorite story in the Bible is about Joseph and his brothers and how they sold Joseph because I liked how even when they sold Joseph, he forgave them for what they did. I also liked how he was generous to his family after all that his brothers did. I wanted to get baptized today because Jesus died on the cross for my sins and died for everyone else's too. Now I feel like God is always with me wherever I am. One time God was looking out for me was when I went to my brother's soccer game and I was crossing the road and a car was going really fast in front of me, and then I didn't see it, but then my mom saw it and pulled me back. So I knew God was looking out for me. That is why I decided to get baptized today.
You won't drive.
Can't see.
That's fine. Okay, Shelly, pick your arms. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Shelly, is it your public profession that Jesus Christ is also your Lord and Savior? Yeah? So, and I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm a fishing star. See my hug? Father, we come before you and we pray as well for our baptism in the Holy Spirit, not only through water, Lord. We give you the thanks and praise. We ask for your Holy Spirit to lead Shelley like the cloudy, fiery pillar led the Israelites through the wilderness, Lord. Let Shelley be attuned to the Holy Spirit so that she can know when to stop and when to go, when to pack her tent and when to pitch the tent, Father. So we ask you to bless her, lead her and guide her and fill her with your Holy Spirit. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
Travis, for the past 11 years, I've been praying that God would reveal himself in ways that would resonate with you. I've been praying that you would discover the man God has created you to be, and you would discover that a journey with Jesus was the most adventurous journey you could take. And for the past 11 years, I've been able to witness God at work in your life, shaping you into the man he has created you to be and modeling you for his purpose. And to be able to stand here with you today and join you in a lifelong commitment with God at the wheel is something I've been praying for us. You have been blessed with so many gifts and attributes. Your compassionate heart makes people feel accepted. Your commitment to justice makes people feel that their lives matter. Your vision for what could be is incredible. Your heart for the poor is moving. You have a personality that draws people to you. You're thoughtful, insightful, and dedicated. I have seen these things in action, and they are remarkable. But what moves me more is thinking what God will do with them now that you have given your life to him and what he has been holding back in anticipation for this day. I recently came across a quote, "Blessed are the desperate, for theirs is the courage to create meaningful and lasting change." In your commitment to make a difference for people in this world, to make your life count for something, you have discovered Jesus. And it is through a desperate and longing heart that he can use you for his glory. A life that you can look back on and say, "I was fully used up." As you begin your journey with God, let these words guide your walk. In Proverbs 2, verse 10 to 11, "My son, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants treasure of common sense to the honest. He shields those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy.
Aaron, you are the love of my life. I thank God, my Lord Jesus, for many gifts in my life, but I thank him most for bringing you to me. You are the mother of our children, and in your love they flourish, and they are learning the love of Christ. You walk beside me in our journey, but you often walk in front. An example of faith, forgiveness, and joy. Your steps are steady and certain. God has blessed you with an easy and gentle faith. Like a stream in the forest, you move without struggle towards the ocean that is his kingdom. Through the Spirit, you have been given the gifts of courage and kindness and compassion for others. God has done great things through you and will continue to do so. I pray that your faith will continue to be steadfast, and that the love of Christ and the love and admiration of your family will always be clear to you. From Hebrews 12, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I have known you since I was a child, and you have always been with me. Even when I have strayed, you have stayed close. I come to be baptized today to surrender myself to you, to give up my rebellious heart. I give myself to you in gratitude of your many blessings, especially for the gift of my wife and children. I give myself to you that I would become more pure in your sight, and so that I might become a better husband, father, son, brother, and to become a Christian that might bring glory to your name. I come to you with broken spirit and a sinful heart, and ask that through your grace that I might die to sin and become your servant in righteousness. From Psalm 51, something that spoke to me. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion, wash away my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and give me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart. In your good pleasure, cause Zion to prosper, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifice, whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Okay, so Travis, again, likewise, is it your public declaration that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, you have a heart for the oppressed and for the lost, and you have implanted that desire and that love, Father, into Travis. So I ask you, Lord, to baptize him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, Father. Give him gifts of insight, Lord, gifts of compassion, Father, gifts of discernment, Lord, all from your Holy Spirit, so that the calling that he is called to, whether here or whether abroad, Lord, Father, will be fruitful and multiplied, not through his own efforts, but through the Holy Spirit and by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Lord. So we put Travis in your hands, and we trust in you that you will lead and direct and fill him. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
First read from Acts 2, verse 25. I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. When I was 18, I stood before my church as I'm doing now and professed Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And while this decision still is a significant moment in my life, I find God has led me to a new place. A lot happens over 20 years. God has been so faithful, blessing me with amazing experiences to see his hand at work, and has guided me through some very trying times. I have come to know God in different ways than I was young, and I have learned to listen more and act less. Over the last few years, God has been speaking into my life in a new way, teaching me about faith in action, reliance on him, and what obedience looks like in my life. I believe there comes a time in one's life when they are ready to give all or give nothing, no longer satisfied with the status quo and in search of a life worth living. Hoping that hopping off that invisible fence that keeps our lives in limbo and fully committing to something wholeheartedly. In my spiritual walk, I feel God has been preparing me to make this transition, to live in abandon for him and to live in my internal identity. So for me, today is an act of obedience, one that says, here I am, Lord, I am yours, and my complete trust and faith is in you. I'm ready for our journey, an amazing one it will be.
Aaron, is it your public profession that Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
It is.
So I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, Father, I come before you with Aaron, Lord, and you have fitted her already with so many gifts, and we ask you to fill her right to the top with your Holy Spirit, Lord, Father. Let the gifts that have already been manifested manifest more. Let new gifts come up, Lord, Father.
Use Erin right where she is, right here in Revelstoke, as she interacts with all the different people in the different circles that she moves in, Father. And if you have plans for Erin and Travis overseas, Lord, fit her already now in advance with the gifts that both of them need for their trip as they consider and wait upon you and your direction in that, Father. So we put Erin in your hands. We ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit and a leading of the Holy Spirit and a baptism of fire. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
So as I sat down to ponder what to say as Janine's encourager, what struck me is how she is someone who keeps seeking God. Janine, even as it was God who pursued you and convinced you of his love for you, you search to discover who he is and what he's about. And as you're baptized today, you take another step seeking him and following Jesus. Don't stop. You know by now that sometimes it's difficult, that life can be messy and painful. But you've experienced, too, the joy of being in relationship with God, the peace of knowing his love for you, and the hope of his promise to bring you in all things fully to himself. This is your faith. Your trust in him is well-placed, so keep seeking after him. And as you keep seeking him, he'll continue to draw you closer and continue to transform you. It's sometimes hard to see the transformation in ourselves. We see it as slow and arduous, if at all. So I want to encourage you with what I have observed him bring about in your life. You have your priorities right. Not on temporary, but on important things. You are an amazingly selfless mother. You live with self-control. You work diligently. You care deeply. And you are very loyal. And these are just some of the fruit that God has born in you, and they stand as testimony to your allegiance to Christ. I am proud to be your husband, and I'm honored to stand with you as you testify to your trust in Jesus. And I love you.
Although I became a Christian more than 8 years ago now, I have never been baptized. At the time, I was living in Kelowna, attending one of the larger mega churches, and the thought of being baptized in a church so big, where I knew very few people, was a little more than terrifying to me. I've never been one to like large crowds, so even just standing here today has put me out of my comfort zone, but that's all right. When Kai and I moved back to Revelstoke, I thought again about the idea of baptism, and still I ran into roadblocks. Nearly 4 years into my walk with Christ, the honeymoon period had seemed to have ended, and I didn't feel on fire for God like I was supposed to. How could I be baptized when I clearly didn't have it all together in my faith? I didn't know enough, pray enough, or read my Bible enough. Ironically, these were all the same feelings I was faced with when I was first making the decision to give my life to Christ. It had been a much younger, but still very wise, Kai, who had told me that I didn't have to have my life all together, that none of us have arrived. I simply needed to know that God was my foundation and that I could return to him time and again, because I will screw up again, probably later today. I specifically want to thank George for his message on baptism last month. He had the courage to point out that over time, our North American culture has eroded its view of baptism to the point where it was essentially optional for today's believers. How quickly I had fallen into believing just that. Today I'm being baptized because I know my allegiance is to Jesus, and he has called me to do this. It is pleasing to the Lord, and it affirms me in my faith, so surely it is the right thing to do. I also hope It might inspire someone else who is grappling with the idea of baptism like I was. Finally, I will leave you with the verse from Ephesians 2:8-10. It's from the NLT. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I've asked Kai to baptize me because not only is he my partner in life, but he also played a fundamental role at the outset of my spiritual journey, so it's kind of special. Okay. And George, you said that you were you're against infant baptism.
No, we're baptizing a baby today.
I'm expecting so.
So Janine, is it your public declaration that you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Then in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Janine, for who you have made her to be, and that you have marked her as your own. And so, God, as she has stepped forward in obedience to you, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon her, that you would drench her in you. And God, we just trust that you have great things in store for her. We thank you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.